Driver, we're clear.
Hello, friends, and welcome to this week's episode of The Florida Project, the podcast where Disney fans celebrate Walt Disney World. If you like Disney and you like podcasts, you will probably like The Florida Project. I'm Jason. Across from me is Will.
Here to celebrate everything Walt Disney World.
All right. And next to Will is Michael.
I'm here, too.
Excellent. If you'd like to support the show, get access to some awesome bonus content, get some cool real world stuff, and even chat with us when you're bored at work, become one of our Patreon saints at patreon.com/TFP podcast. Each week on TFP Extra, we keep the podcast train rolling with more zany fun, the airing of grievances, and a topic that may or may not be Disney related. So if you're a fan of the nonsense parts of the Florida Project, you will love TFP Extra.
Extra. Mm.
In addition to TFP Extra, our Patreon saints get access to our ongoing Disney Classics series where we discuss each of Disney's animated classic films. Our next animated Disney classic is Snow White and the Seven Dwarves, which we will be planning a watch along with the Patreon saints very soon.
That's a good one if you haven't seen it.
It's scary.
Spoiler, it's been so long since I've seen it all the way through. Man, I'm looking forward to it. It's probably only like 45 minutes, too.
Yeah, it's really short.
Yeah, it's a short one. Yeah. Patreons who contribute just $5 get the additional shows and an invite to the TFP Slack channel. There you can chat with us, participate in watch-alongs, and engage in fun, freewheeling discussions. It's like a nonstop episode of TFP Extra.
Extra.
Additional levels and rewards are all on the Patreon site, so sign up at patreon.com/TFP podcast today and get more of The Florida Project. In this episode, we'll discuss some nonsense and small topics. Michael will give us the old news. Will will take us on a trip down Main Tweet USA. And then we'll ask 10 questions about the latest entry in the Marvel Cinematic Universe, Shang-Chi and the Legend of the Ten Rings. All that and more is coming up on this week's episode of The Florida Project.
It's a small
topic.
After all, it's a small
topic.
After all, it's a small
topic.
Small topics. All right. Small topic number one. If you were in an action / sci-fi / martial arts movie, which one do you think you'd do best in? You don't have plot armor, but you're not clearly the first person that will die to show the stakes of the movie. So,
does it have to be a movie?
No.
Cool. I want to be in Cobra Kai.
That's
then
the first I
think
one
I'd
I
do well there.
Really?
Because they have people on there who are like that have never done karate and they do okay in their big fights. And there was that fat guy in Karate Kid. He didn't win, but he was in Cobra Kai, so you know it was cool.
I don't know. Hawk might get you.
No, he's a good guy now, right? If I recall, I don't know. Man, remember that show's
spoilers
wacky.
For.
Oh, forget it.
Cobra Kai.
Whatever.
There's karate.
There's karate, and it's wacky.
Yeah.
There's barely any karate, let's be clear. Yeah.
There's a goodly amount of karate.
I think I'd do well in Cobra Kai because I can do a quip and then I can learn to do karate. I mean, I wouldn't do good in that when things get serious.
Yeah.
You know, like when, you know, no spoiler, I guess, but there are fights. I'm like, ooh, I'm out of here on this one. I'll see you guys at the tournament.
I'll where mediate.
We have referees, etc. No, thank you.
Yeah. Michael?
I would probably be someone in the Matrix.
Oh, yeah?
But I don't want to be woken.
You want to stay asleep?
Oh, you want to be like Joey Pants?
Yeah.
Save that for the next question.
Oh, okay.
What about an agent? You could be an agent.
Well, no. Oh, yeah, if they die.
You just constantly, right, you know, back. Put your finger up to your ear, and then you just zoom into the next place.
Well, I don't want to lose my humanity.
Well, I don't think they ever had any to lose.
Right, they're computer programs.
Yeah.
But so was Data.
He wasn't a computer program.
He was close to a computer program.
Yeah.
He wasn't running software?
Well, he was.
But... Okay. Question's over.
Okay. Mine was also the Matrix because they can upload whatever into your brain. So if it's like oh, I need to know how to, I don't know, do something to survive. They can just zap that right in my brain.
That would be so helpful in life. I mean, boy, I'm not really good at pivot tables. Now I'm a genius.
I'm the best at pivot tables.
But then you got to do pivot tables all the time.
Now you use that as a stepping stone.
Can you
more.
Unload it too? They never talked about that.
Yeah, I'm sure.
Okay.
Yeah, because you might need the memory for something else.
I'm going to get rid of this.
Like Johnny Mnemonic?
I wanted to learn how to knit one day, but I don't really want to anymore. I'm good at a Rubik's Cube. I can get rid of that.
I feel like that with that, then you risk everybody knowing how to do everything and that, you know, no one has like a specialized skill.
No, it's still only the people who are awake be able to do it. Oh. And who have a crew that can upload stuff.
Yeah, that's true.
Yeah. All right. The Matrix Resurrection got a trailer this week and it looks great. If you got proof that we're in the Matrix, would you go red pill or blue pill? And I don't remember which one is which.
The red pill is you get taken. You find out.
You wake up.
You wake up and you go to the worst place in the world where you eat sludge.
Yeah.
And everything looks like just a big tetanus shot is necessary at all times.
But then when you get jacked back into the Matrix, it seems so nice. Super cool.
Yeah. And they get those cool suits and everything too. Although Neo went for like all leather and everything. I'd go for a nice suit.
He was fine in the first one.
Like Morpheus did. Morpheus had some style when he went in the Matrix.
Yeah. Trinity, I didn't like her choices.
No. Again, the only one I liked was Morpheus, like style wise. Super 90s.
Yeah.
And classy. I think I don't want to steal Michael's answer, but I would go if it is as the Matrix showed us. I'm gonna take the blue pill. In fact, I'd do the deal that Joey Pants was gonna do. I want to be something famous.
Yeah,
I want to have steak all the time, and I don't want to know anything about that other life anymore. Just take all that out.
Yeah, I don't want to know about the squids and like what happened to humanity. Like, I feel like. It's hard to come back from that.
Yeah.
Once you know that.
So you're saying free will is meh.
We still have free will.
In
a confined, in the Matrix.
Yeah, in a confined environment.
It's like having free will in Galaxy's Edge at Walt Disney World.
Right.
I mean, you can do this, or you can leave.
Or in real life, there's stuff you can't do.
It's like Grand Theft Auto.
Yeah.
It's open world, but you can't go outside of this thing.
They should have it so you can do a reset. He should have put in another caveat. Like, I can have a reset button if I feel like it.
Purple pill?
If I screw something up, I go to jail, you're like, oh, man, forget it. Excuse me, Agent Smith, can I get out of here, please? Yeah, blue pill.
But then you'd have to know about the Matrix.
I also don't really love the color red, so I want to take the blue pill.
I dare you. I would also probably take the blue pill, but because the red pill just seems like a drag. But the good part about the red pill is you can get jacked back into the Matrix and then be super cool and can do it.
Yeah. Like,
do magic and stuff.
I have another question.
So you just have to evade the web crawlers or whatever.
You have to be one of the cool people, though. I mean, there's other people that are that know about the Matrix that aren't as cool as the stars.
Yeah, well, they don't get to go back in. I want to be one of the, if I do it, if I want the red pill, I want to be on the Nebuchadnezzar or whatever, and I want to be able to go back in and do missions and stuff.
Yeah.
You know, and then, you know, like.
Niobe looked cool. She had it.
Yeah. She had good style too. I mean, but here's my question. And are they going to still use landlines to get out in this new Matrix movie? Because
I'm excited. They
should update that, I think.
I bet they will. I think it's probably a new iteration of the Matrix.
It seems like there's a lot going on.
And so they got to do something.
Or an earlier iteration of the Matrix.
Maybe.
Oh, maybe.
I watched all three last year again for the first time in years. Because for many years, I didn't want to watch the second and third one again. But I wanted to give it a fresh. And I do like it a little bit more than I used to, but they're still not great. That first one, though, fantastic. But that's how I feel about the Pirates movies, too, for the record. I love the first one.
Yeah.
And then after that, the second and third, all right, that's a bit much. And then the fourth and fifth, I barely remember.
All right. And small topic number three, President Biden announced a vaccine mandate that will cover about 100 million Americans this week. Disney Cruise Line is already requiring vaccinations. Do you think that the parks ever will?
Honestly, no. I don't. I feel like it would be too hard to, implement or, I feel like there would be too much difficulty with that because.
Just have to show some proof or whatever.
Yeah, there's just so many people coming. There's like you have people planning vacations ahead of time. And like, it just seems like that kind of thing would be a nightmare.
Yeah.
I mean, it'd be like the cruise thing, but times like millions just because there's so many more people going to the parks than on a cruise ship.
I feel like there at some point we're going to hit a critical mass of these types of venues where they're like somebody's going to make an app that will integrate all the apps. So
that's called the Matrix.
Yeah.
You know what? I'm taking the blue pill still. So, I'm a big fan of Walt Disney World. My answer is also no, unless something, always an asterisk, unless something changes.
Yeah. If we're in the Matrix right now, I want to rewrite.
I'm telling you, this new season is garbage.
Yeah.
Like, give me back to the 1999, 98 season. Those were good times.
Well, they did say it was the peak of humanity.
That's true.
I'm much happier now, even in spite of everything that's going on.
Well, that's nice, Michael.
So,
yeah, I am too.
You have to have some perspective.
But. Yeah, 98 was a good year. I graduated high school then. It was nice. It was a good year.
I was a junior in college.
Yeah. The Matrix came out. That was a good movie.
That came out in 99.
Yeah. Well, okay, fine then.
It came out
Star Wars Episode 1, The Phantom Menace.
It came out like 2 months before The Phantom, or maybe 1 month before The Phantom Menace.
That was a good summer for movies, though.
People didn't know about The Matrix then.
Yeah. What is The Matrix?
What is The Matrix?
Wasn't that the website? Wasn't that a thing? Like, remember websites back then? They were not good.
Mm-hmm.
Under construction, flashing, blinking text.
Oh, remember, I was a tech at that point, and it took forever to try to download that Star Wars Episode 1 teaser trailer.
But you had that T1 line.
Yeah, it wasn't us. It was the host.
Yeah.
2 days later, got it, guys. Yeah. We got it.
We got it.
And then all the Napstering happened and everything, too. Yeah.
You still loading them and heating them up with all your single shit you've been dropping. You feel me? Loading them up on. It only takes structure. And just paying attention to the climate of the game.
Yeah.
Know what I mean?
So do your homies got a role in your little, you mean?
Yeah, we all artists over here, man. I'm trying to get them on there. We all artists, man. We gonna have this like
bro, me and my man Kai, we be like, I don't know, we play with this shit right now. I gotta lie, we play with this shit right now for real.
Don't play with it, take that shit serious.
So anyway, get vaccinated. If you haven't been vaccinated, now's the time.
Yeah, get vaxxed.
And that's it for small topics.
Thanks, Jason, for following the white rabbit and giving us those small topics.
I know kung fu.
News. So here are three news items to discuss this week about Walt Disney World.
Yes, Michael, I know. Number one, I re-up my annual pass. I know you have it on there. Like, this is the whole topic. I appreciate it. I'm back, everybody. It's great.
Finally, does it feel different?
No, because I haven't activated it. So
you were about to get booted off the podcast. Frankly, we had a podcast
was
meeting.
Was there a meeting?
Yeah. Yep.
You have to be vaccinated and be an annual pass holder.
Yeah, I get it.
But related to your annual pass, our first news item is that Walt Disney World annual passes are once again available for purchase. So yesterday, as we record, Walt Disney World once again began selling annual passes after being unavailable for purchase since the start of the pandemic in March of 2020. However, existing pass holders were able to renew their annual passes. At the same time, Disney announced four new annual pass tiers to replace the previous lineup of annual passes. And according to Disney, quote, offering the flexibility and choice to meet guest needs, each designed based on pass holder feedback, end quote. The biggest change is that Disney is making use of the park reservation system to offer between 3 and 5 reservations depending on the tier of your pass. This is expected as Disney has said the park reservation system is here to stick around until further notice.
We'll let you know.
Never.
The four passes are the Disney Pixie Dust Pass for $3.99, the Disney Pirate Pass for $6.99, the Disney Sorcerer Pass for $8.99, and the Disney Incredipass for $1,200.
I don't mean to be a negative person, but the Incredipass, I love the Incredibles. That's a terrible name for this pass. I don't like it. I bought it, but I don't like it. I'm just saying.
But you never need to use the name, at least.
It's but like, it's on there. When you look at my name now on here,
it says like, Incredipass.
You guys show up as your old, your classic passes. and I'm the Incredipass. I'm like, oh, okay. It doesn't look terrible there compared to your old names.
What about the Avenger Pass? It's like Avengers.
I know, I get it. The Sorcerer Pass is the only one that I think sounds kind of cool.
Yeah, I like that one the best.
The Infinity Pass.
But I also only had one option, too.
It's a snap.
Oh, there you go. See? What are they doing? What are we doing here, Disney? Take a note.
Well, only the top-priced Disney Incredipass has no blackout dates.
Excuse me, Infinity Pass. Snap.
Oh. Only the top price Disney, as we're going to call it, Infinity Pass, has no blackout dates.
It's a snap. You have to say it with it.
Oh, I have to say the whole thing?
Yep. Iridescent. If I have to do that.
I don't understand. Oh, because of Avengers.
Yeah. Infinity. Okay. The Infinity
Gauntlet. What is the Welcome snap? Back, Michael.
All right. You guys are throwing me off. Right, let me find my spot. Only the top-priced Disney Incredipass has no blackout dates and is the only one available to anyone, including non-Florida residents and non-DVC members. The rest have differing blackout dates and are available only to Florida residents. All passes will include theme park parking, but none include any PhotoPass services. Water park and sports and Disney PhotoPass download add-ons will be cost $99 each. Current pass holders will continue to use existing annual passes, and when it is time for you to renew, you'll be able to renew into one of the new passes at a discounted renewal price. So, what do you get with these annual passes? Let's take a deeper look. With Disney's Pixie Dust Pass, you can visit one or more Walt Disney World theme parks on most weekdays with an advanced park reservation, subject to the blackout dates, including peak and holiday periods. And their blackout dates are every weekend, 1 week in March, 2 weeks in April, 1 week in November, which would be around Thanksgiving, and 2 weeks in December, which would be around Christmas. You can hold up to 3 park reservations at a time, and it's only available to Florida residents for $3.99. So that's their lowest tier. One step up from that is the Disney Pirate Pass.
Yarr.
You can visit one or more Walt Disney World theme parks on most days with an advanced park reservation, also subject to blackout dates, including peak and holiday periods. And their blackout dates are a couple dates in both January and February, a week in both March and April, a couple days in May, a couple days in July, a handful of dates in October, a week in November around Thanksgiving, and 2 weeks in December around Christmas. So it's a weird like smattering. I guess it's based on, you know, crowds,
yeah,
historically stuff. But it's interesting that there are not a lot of large blocks of blackout dates. They're like a day here, a week here, or a weekend here. So it's different than before where like some of the passes like no summer.
Mm-hmm. Oh yeah, that's interesting. I guess maybe people are shifting around and not as many going in summer.
So the Pirate Pass also gives you the ability to hold up to 4 park reservations at a time, and it is also only available to Florida residents at $6.99. Next up is the perfectly named Disney Sorcerer Pass. Here you can visit one or more Disney World theme parks on even more days with advanced park reservation, also subject to blackout dates. And these are just a half week in November for Thanksgiving and 2 weeks in December for Christmas.
Hmm.
You can hold up to 5 park reservations at a time, and they're only available to Florida residents and Disney Vacation Club members at $8.99. And then you come to the Disney Incredipass.
Hey, that's me.
Where you can visit one or more Walt Disney World theme parks on any day with an advanced park reservation, no blackout dates.
Yeah.
And you can hold up to 5 park reservations at a single time.
Heck yeah.
That's a lot.
That's a lot.
So many.
So many.
And you can get even more probably if you're staying on property.
Yes, you can. They don't count against your, mm-hmm. I've already come across that.
So if you book, let's say, for instance, if you book 90 days worth of hotel room stays throughout the year,
yeah,
you could have 90 park passes plus 5 additional ones.
At any time.
At any time. So that's just one example. Another example would be if you booked 30 days of hotel reservations, you could also have 5 days.
But that's really the same thing.
Which would make it 35.
Yeah.
Now, here's one.
I don't think there's any confusion.
Here's one that you may.
No, let him finish.
Okay. Let's say you want to go. I want to go for race weekend.
Mm-hmm.
Star Wars or whatever's replacing Star Wars.
Springtime surprise.
Yeah, springtime surprise. And you're going to stay on property for 3 days.
Yeah.
You could book 3 days worth of park passes mm-hmm. and then 5 more days on top of that.
So that's 8.
That's 8.
Yeah.
Does everybody get it?
Yeah.
Okay.
I think I'm good.
All right. One more example.
No, I think we're good. I think we're good.
Well, also, planning will be easier with enhancements to the reservation system, including a new integrated calendar that lets pass holders quickly see blackout dates for each pass type, view available days, and make, modify, or cancel a reservation all in one place.
So that's nice.
It's funny you say that. It's broken right now. Because I was trying to go to the reservation site. It did say it was that link is not working.
Yeah.
And now it's just spinning. But correct, Michael.
They're not the best at
it's Friday night.
At V1 technology.
Don't be making V1 your reservations apps on Friday night at 8 o'clock either.
Yeah. It's probably just they just launched it. So,
but
they're a real agile shop. They yes. iterate a lot.
On the new one, though, which is fine with the IncrediPass, I was able to see, and you'll talk about this in no detail in a minute, so I'll go ahead and mention it, my little extra days that don't count against my 5 reservations.
Yeah.
Because there was one for Sunday that has a little star on the calendar. It does not count against your 5. I know that.
How does that
hurt your math a little bit? So.
Mm-hmm. So you have one day booked.
And it wouldn't. I would still have 5.
That's all.
But they decide.
It's a special surprise.
So a low day for, if we're Florida residents, this would be the day you'd be like, oh, we'll just run over there. Like, it's not going to count against our reservations or whatever. So that's okay, one of their surprises.
So then taking the examples again.
Nope, no, I don't think we need to do all of them again.
If you had 30 days worth of hotel stays.
Oh, we got Lumiere on the screen. Something's taking too long. So it's not
our guest,
but it was pretty cool. I mean,
yeah, they also do things like when we had we have our Ratatouille preview reservation. We didn't have to make a park reservation for that,
mm-hmm.
but one just showed up in our account.
Oh, that's nice.
And does not count against our
whatever
number we have.
Yeah, it's really like
Here we go. It's back up now.
I don't think they're controlling capacity except for maybe on 4th of July or New Year's.
Yeah,
it's really just so that they know who's coming when and where they're going so they can
now Stitch is on the page.
Have magic parades. Someone ate and stuff.
Well, passes will continue to offer benefits, including the park hopper option, standard theme park parking, and discounts on merchandise and dining. And as Will mentioned, there will be a few special surprises throughout the 50th anniversary celebration. Florida residents will continue to have a monthly payment plan with an initial down payment depending on the pass. Also, there are some extra perks for existing pass holders. Silver, Gold, Platinum, and Platinum Plus annual pass holders will be able to hold more Disney Park pass reservations at a time. Platinum Plus, Platinum, and Gold will be able to have 5 reservations held at a time, and Silver up to 4 reservations at a time.
That's
up from the 3 that we had prior to the other day.
Yeah. The reservations haven't been a problem. I'm glad that they're making it easier to get to them because it is kind of like it's hard to find how to make a reservation.
Not now.
Originally.
Oh, yeah. But have you been to the revamped one since they put it back up?
No, but that's what I'm saying. I'm glad that they've revamped it and made it easier to navigate.
Though it is a lot nicer to navigate now. And it's also easier to go through the months. Like, I'm going through, and there's literally 2 days in the foreseeable future that not all parks are available.
Yeah.
October 1st and October 2nd.
Yeah.
Something's going on those 2 days. I don't really know what's going on. But the only stars I told you about where they don't count against your bonus, they're called a bonus reservation. Certain parks can be reserved on this day, and it will not count towards your allotted number of reservations. So on September 11th and September 14th, I can make a reservation. Let's just see on the 14th. Eligible parks or bonus? Okay, bonus reservation is Epcot on the 14th, and it won't count against you.
Okay, so they tell you which parks and which dates are bonus.
On Saturday, September 11th, Hollywood Studios or Magic Kingdom can be your bonus reservation.
Nice.
So
I like that.
From what I see, it looks like they may do it monthly
yeah.
because nothing else is showing up with these stars. So I don't know.
Well, that's fun. I mean, it's not like you can't get a reservation anyway, it seems like.
Remains to be seen.
But it's cool to have like these little special things to see on the calendar. Speaking of the calendar, we're on the cusp of the 50th anniversary, and Walt Disney World is in the home stretch of their decorating for the 50th anniversary. With only a couple weeks to go before the official 50th anniversary of Walt Disney World, the last stages of decorations are going up across the resort, First up, the Disney Skyliner has received a 50th anniversary wrap on some of the gondolas. Gondolas? Gondolas.
Huh. Gondolas.
They say 50th anniversary.
Yeah, I saw. They look
have
nice.
Like the...
Are they an iridescent?
They look iridescent, but I haven't seen it in person. Guests arriving at the Magic Kingdom are now greeted with a brand new 50th anniversary banner in front of the train station at the main entrance that also looked iridescent. Frontierland at the Magic Kingdom now has some new raised sections of the boardwalk along the storefront to provide better parade viewing. Note that parades aren't currently happening, but hopefully this is a sign they will be turning soon. So they've been replacing like all the boardwalks in Frontierland with like new wood and stuff. And at the same time, there's like these sections that kind of are like a level higher, like a step up. So it'll be good for like kids and stuff. Like you could stand on there to see the parade.
Yeah.
Or, you know, adults that push the kids out of the way that want the pictures for their blogs and stuff.
Absolutely.
The entrance of Adventureland has been updated. So it has like a new sign. I think it's like, it's all the same stuff. They just like refreshed it all.
Yeah.
So everything looks
and that egg clean. Roll cart, is it still there?
I don't know.
I don't like it being there, for the record.
It used to be over by the treehouse.
Yeah, it used to be next to the treehouse over on that side. But it doesn't look right there. It looks kind of meh sitting there, in my opinion.
The large clock on Main Street USA has returned and now features a golden makeover.
Mm.
The first set of the Disney Fab Five golden character sculptures have begun appearing, with Mickey, Minnie, Donald, Daisy, Pluto, Goofy, and Chip and Dale installed in the hub at the Magic Kingdom. And the rest of the characters, which will be installed in all four theme parks, are over at Disney's Animal Kingdom, you have Timon and Pumbaa, Nemo and Dory, Simba, Bambi and Thumper. At Hollywood Studios, you have Edna Mode, Joe Gardner, Bo Peep and Woody, R2-D2, BB-8, Flounder and Sebastian, and Frozone. At Epcot, you have Dante, Figment, Olaf and Bruni, Rocket and Groot, Miguel, Hey, and Pua.
Who's Bruni?
Bruni is that little fire lizard thing from Frozen 2.
Ah, gotcha. I forgot that.
At Magic Kingdom, you have Lumiere and Cogsworth, Winnie the Pooh and Piglet, Cheshire Cat, Mad Hatter, Orange Bird, Dumbo and Timothy, Stitch, Abu, Gus and Jock, Pinocchio, Tinkerbell, and Lady and the Tramp, as well as the ones that I already mentioned, like Mickey, Minnie, and all that.
No one from Oliver and Company.
No, I didn't see any from Oliver and Company.
It's a shame.
Or the Black Hole.
No black hole.
They really should sell these things. If they sold Christmas ornaments of these, we would have a fourth tree in this house.
I got a feeling.
They better.
Tonight's going to be a good night.
Not really 50th anniversary related, but Big Top Souvenirs has reopened in the Storybook Circus at the Magic Kingdom. One change, though, it is now mostly sweet treats and hardly any merchandise. There are some generously spaced tables and chairs where the merchandise carts used to be.
Hmm.
So now it's like if you want to go and take a rest in the air conditioning and have a snack.
Yeah. That's cool.
You can go in the tent.
Hey, what were the non-masked areas called?
Relaxation
stations. Yeah.
Yeah.
I enjoyed that. That was great.
Yeah.
Yeah. Especially nice when you had it all to yourself.
Mm-hmm.
Like we had one at Epcot and there was like no one there. So it was just.
It was a lovely break.
Yeah.
Yeah. They probably also, I'm going to guess COVID is like. They don't need to fill another store with merchandise. They need to have that merchandise to make the other stores look full.
Well, you also got all these new ornaments. They haven't even put out most of the 50th stuff yet.
Yeah. Like,
so I guarantee you they'll be having a lot of the golden statue stuff.
They better.
If you want it, they got it.
You know what we all want?
What's that?
Is to go to space.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And speaking of space, we can finally say that the Space 220 restaurant at Epcot now has an opening date. And it's just in a few days. So we have been talking about the Space 220 restaurant for years, and now it is one step closer to actually opening. We have an actual opening date. Space 220 will open on September 20th, 2021, and will feature a two-course prefix menu for lunch and a three-course prefix menu for dinner created by executive chef Mark Kuske? I don't know how to pronounce his name.
Mark.
Yeah. Executive Chef Mark.
Mark K.
Mark with a C.
Mark.
Space. I know a Mark with a C. Nice guy.
Well, Space 220 is located adjacent to the Mission Space and on the right hand of that pavilion. So hopefully they'll open up reservations soon because currently they're not open. But maybe by the time you hear this, they'll be open because I want to make a reservation.
I do too.
I'm putting Space 220 in the same category as the new Bond movie and Venom. The more I hear about it, the less I want to go to it.
Michael, I will go with you for dinner.
Good. I'll go with you, but I just don't want to hear about it.
Now you can't go.
You can wait in the relaxation station while I'm in space.
But I want to go
to the relaxation stations are closed, Michael. You'd have to go back in time.
All right. You can go where the relaxation station was because it's kind of right near Mission Space. And that is it for news.
That was some good news, Michael.
Tweet.
Who's ready for another Christmas party?
I am.
Too bad. You got to go to Disneyland to do it.
Oh, I'll totally go to Disneyland.
Okay, let's do it. So let's go over to the West Coast on Main Tweet USA as Disneyland has announced their newest holiday event, Disney Merriest Nights. N-I-T-E-S, which I don't really approve of the spelling, you know?
But yeah, whatever. Why is it spelled that way?
I don't know. Maybe a West Coast thing. You know the Californians.
They put avocado on it?
Yeah.
Okay.
So this is from the Disney Parks blog today, I believe. Are you looking forward to immersing yourself in the holiday season this year?
Yeah.
Look no further because magic is here with Holidays at the Disneyland Resort. And this year we've added a new separate ticket, limited capacity offering, Disney Merriest Nights. Since Mickey Mouse adores the holidays and celebrating with friends, he's invited some of them to help host six themed parties in one throughout Disneyland Park. You can join Mickey Mouse and his friends on one of five select nights during November and December with the purchase of a ticket. Doesn't that sound great, Michael?
It does. Only five nights?
Yeah, no, crazy.
Oh, maybe that's why it's spelled with a T, because that way there's five letters.
Oh, well, that's nice. I like that. As the host of the party, Mickey Mouse will welcome you to the party on Main Street USA with Victorian flair, which sounds kind of boring. Yeah. I'm just going to say that. Kermit the Frog, Miss Piggy, and their friends join in on the fun, traveling in a special coach with Christmas Carol sing-alongs. So that's fun. And they'll have Muppet antics and a few chickens.
Yes.
So over in New Orleans Square, Princess Tiana plans to ring in Noel with guests at her Bayou-inspired celebration. In Frontierland, Miguel from the Disney and Pixar film Coco will be wishing everyone Feliz Navidad while you kick up your heels during a jolly dance-filled fiesta. Three more character-hosted holiday parties await you with a tropical party hosted by Lilo and Stitch in Adventureland, a wintertime celebration with Elsa in Fantasyland, and Buzz Lightyear taking the holidays to new heights over in Tomorrowland. Your friends and family will enjoy enhanced entertainment such as themed photo backdrops and character sightings and themed specialty food and beverage offerings within the event. Attendance at the separately ticketed holiday event offers you limited capacity after-hours access to Disneyland Park attractions, asterisk, and entertainment. The asterisk is Star Wars Galaxy's Edge, Mickey's Toontown, and Critter Country will not be accessible during the party. So That kind of stinks. Select attractions will be available, including the seasonal transformations It's a Small World holiday and Haunted Mansion holiday, along with a special viewing of A Christmas Fantasy Parade. So they got a parade.
Oh, nice.
You get unlimited Disney PhotoPass digital downloads from the night. You may want to wear your favorite holiday attire. Disney Merriest Night tickets will be sold for events on November 11th, 16th, 30th, December 7th, and 9th. Tickets will be available for purchase beginning September 14th, no earlier than 9 a.m., which I think is funny that they actually had to put that out there. I don't know. I've never seen that before.
Yeah, I want to get one for November 16th for my birthday.
Okay. For event highlights and additional details, you know where to go. Go to the Disneyland website. Yes. General admission tickets start at $165 per person, and you can get in starting at 5 o'clock like the other parties. So that's it.
That's expensive.
It is expensive. So they clearly hate the fans.
Wait, what time can you get in?
5 o'clock.
Oh, well, that's good.
And you don't have to have a park reservation or other theme park admission.
What time does it close?
TBD.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. That's late.
I don't know. It didn't say.
They're not usually open super late, but I don't know if they'll
make an exception. If it did say, I didn't put it in the notes. TCB. But this was new information today, too.
Yeah, this sounds great. My only concern is the Lilo and Stitch party in Adventureland, because where are they going to put that? It's already like a bottleneck.
Well, it is low capacity. They could
put it in the toilet, because that's what Lilo and Stitch are.
Find a toilet in Disneyland, Jason. Yeah. Tell me.
They could throw it in that river. Streets of America.
That's true. I guess with like lower limited capacity, then eventually it won't be such a bottleneck.
This is why Disney World is better and will always be better. Ample bathrooms.
But I still want to go to Disneyland.
Oh, I do too. I'm not super interested in this party, but I think it's kind of cool. I love that they're still trying to do everything they can without actual character interactions.
Right.
And the Muppet little mini parade for Muppet Christmas Carol is kind of cool.
Yeah.
I will watch a YouTube video of that. So there we go. And that's it for Main Tweet USA.
Thanks, Will. That was a festive trip down Main Tweet USA.
Today's topic is 10 questions about Shang-Chi and the legend of the Ten Rings.
Oh, I didn't see it.
Oh.
Oh, wait. No, I did. Never mind. Yeah. My first trip back to the theater, everybody.
Oh, what'd you think?
It was good.
Yeah.
There were more people in there than I thought there were, actually.
Oh, yeah?
The popcorn was quite good. And there were still a lot of people wearing masks, so I thought that was nice.
Wait, yeah. What does that mean?
What?
There are more people in there than I thought there was.
We got in there at the appropriate time, like right before the trailer started, right?
Yeah.
And then the lights were still on, and there may have been 10, 15 people in there. But when we were leaving, it seemed like almost a full theater walking out. I'm like, where'd all these people come in? I guess I was engrossed in the trailers. Yeah. You know?
That moon one?
I haven't seen. Yeah, that's going to be terrible.
To the moon? Is that what it's called?
Moonfall. Yeah, because it's not Skyfall.
Let the moon fall.
They should do that. They should absolutely do that.
Yeah, Michael and I went and saw it for the second time last night. There were a lot less people in the theater that we went to last night. But it's very good.
It had less of a drop-off than Black Widow did.
Yeah.
I would imagine. I don't know.
Well, I think the big theater was still pretty full.
Yeah, I didn't see it in the Dolby.
Yeah.
It was full.
All right. So from here on out, there are spoilers about, Shang-Chi, little WandaVision, little
Cobra Kai, Matrix,
maybe some other stuff. So anything that Shang-Chi and before in the MCU,
like anything you haven't seen that we have may get spoiled.
Yeah. All right, here we go. Ready?
Yeah. Yes.
Question number one. Shang-Chi was the first origin movie we've seen since Doctor Strange. Did it feel formulaic or fresh?
Wow, I didn't realize it had been so long last origin movie.
I think so, because they didn't do one. Because a big complaint about Doctor Strange was that it was, well, I guess Captain Marvel.
That's what I was thinking.
Sort of.
I mean, she just kind of already was powered at the beginning.
Because like Spider-Man was his early days, but it was not his origin story either.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. So we'll go with Doctor Strange, because I don't think Captain Marvel counts. He just remembered who she was.
Well, you got to see her get her powers. So.
You got to see her get her new colored suit.
Well, you saw her when she was exposed to the radiation. In that flashback.
Yeah, it's true.
All right. But anyway.
Fresh or super fresh or formulaic?
Yeah.
I think both.
Yeah, we were talking about this last night, and I felt like it definitely followed the origin story formula, but I think they've done some tweaking to it, and they put in enough extra stuff and world-building stuff, and then also connections to other parts of the MCU that I think it worked, and it felt more like a fresh take.
Yeah.
Than before. And I think like some of the older origin stories, like they couldn't connect to other things in the MCU because the MCU hadn't existed yet. But this one, they can be like, oh, there was the blip. And like God, they can reference.
People will not shut up about that blip.
Yeah. You know? Like they can reference the blip and people, and you know, it automatically connects this story to the MCU.
I hope in the next Spider-Man movie, when we have, you know, like annoying teenagers again, shut up about the blip. We've done it.
We get it.
But yeah, I think it's both. I think it's super fresh until it gets pretty formulaic. And this is going to be something I'll talk about again at some point near the end. I think it gets pretty formulaic at the end.
Will hates dragons.
I don't love dragons, I guess.
Well, save it for question
eight.
Which
is not true. That is not true. You're putting words in my mouth, Michael.
I am.
I love The Last Dragon with Raya.
Oh. I liked that it was. They did the origin story both linearly and non-linearly. Mm-hmm. I don't know why I can't say that. But, like, you got backstory in flashback form, as well as the present-day storyline where Shang-Chi is becoming, you know, what he becomes.
He's leveling up.
Yeah, so it's, yeah. So instead of it being, like, getting all the history beforehand, and then you finally meet, you know, grown-up Shang-Chi, they kind of intersperse it throughout the movie, like, when it's more emotionally relevant. And I really like that, and I couldn't remember offhand if they've done that before, yeah. Except possibly Captain Marvel, but I thought this was done better because there was more backstory to share.
All right. Question two. I actually noticed the music in Shang-Chi in a good way, and I'm wondering what the scorekeepers boys think of it.
Uh-oh.
You didn't notice it?
Not really. It was fine, but nothing really stood out to me all that much. So, it did for a while, and then again, that movie kind of got formulaic to me. Like, for the last act, it seemed very just regular Marvel-y, and I don't even know who did the score. Have you looked it up?
Joel West.
Oh, I don't know him.
Yeah, do I don't either. No.
Yeah. They did it started off when they were in San Francisco. It was very kind of Black Panther, Kendrick Lamar-y.
I did notice that.
That kind of fusion, and really kind of the same as like some of the Madripoor music, I think.
Oh, good pull.
But then I did also notice that the score had some traditional Chinese, like, I don't know if you call them themes, but definitely instruments and, like, stuff that you could recognize as Chinese, and I thought that was pretty cool.
Yeah, the different tone, they use different scales, like
that.
Than Western music, yeah. Mm-hmm. But it happened, I really like the score, but it changed when they entered Talo.
Yes. Like, yeah. Absolutely.
It became more traditional. Yeah. But
that's when I thought it wasn't quite as good.
Oh, I thought it was more like symphonic.
Yeah. I liked it. Again, I liked this movie a lot before it got Marvel-y.
Well,
it
doesn't like dragon music.
I don't like dragon music. You know, when Daenerys Targaryen came out anytime, spoilers for Game of Thrones, she had a dragon. But like, I don't, maybe I don't like dragons, because when I said I liked the dragon and Raya in The Last Dragon, I didn't really like that dragon.
You liked Raya,
I liked Raya. I'm starting, man, I don't. Maybe
do you
I
hate Awkwafina?
No, I like Awkwafina.
Okay, good.
She wasn't a dragon.
Yes, she was.
She was the last.
She was Raya.
Yeah, but she was also.
She was the last dragon.
Yeah.
She was a strong swimmer, like the great protector.
But I liked her more in this one as not a dragon. This movie is not a dragon.
All right. You prefer your Awkwafina non-dragon form.
I apparently do. And I'm trying. I'm just trying to look up this Joel West guy, but I don't. It's not easily.
What about the never ending story?
Oh, I don't really.
That dragon dog was.
I didn't like that dragon dog. I don't like dragons.
Well, I have a dragon tattoo on my back.
Yeah, I don't like it.
How dare you?
It's not great. You know it.
Ah, it's great.
Yeah, is it great or is it okay?
I love it.
You don't see it.
Best dragon tattoo.
We all see it more than you do.
That's true. All right. The fight choreography in Shang-Chi was probably some of the best we've seen so far in the MCU. Were there any moments or fights that stood out to you?
The one that stood out to me, so I liked it. I like all the fighting, like, mm-hmm. It was really interesting to watch. But the one that stood out to me the most both times was the one on the side of the building.
Mm-hmm. Oh, yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Because we've seen fights on the sides of buildings, but there's something about this one, like, with the scaffolding and the fact that the building was reflecting out the whole time and you weren't seeing the camera. So, like, there was, like, it was just, like, a cool effect.
Oh, yeah.
Because you would see the city in the behind. I don't know. It's hard to explain, but, like, you're looking at the building, but you're seeing the nighttime sky and the city reflected back at you, and then they're fighting in front of it. And so you see their reflection too, but there's no like camera in the way sort of thing. So it's obviously been augmented somehow. But I really liked it because it was exciting and thrilling, and like it wasn't too fast. Like sometimes martial arts can be so fast that you just can't see what's happening.
Yeah. Or sometimes really close up too, like the Dark Knight trilogy. Like the camera was so close to the fighting, you couldn't really
You just see movement, but you don't know who's hitting who.
That's another thing that actually reminds me of, like, again, another reason I wasn't the biggest fan of Dark Knight Rises is there was that last big scene where all the cops are fighting each other, fighting the bad guys in the street, and you're seeing everything for the first time. Like, well, this doesn't seem like the rest of this movie. And it's in daylight. What are we doing here?
Yeah.
You know, like, I don't know. In my opinion, this is where this movie shined the most, and that was my favorite fight scene too, was on the side of the building, like swinging around on the what are those called?
Like bamboo scaffolding.
Bamboo. That was even cooler, you know, like, because it had some give to it and everything.
Yeah.
It was very martial arts movie, which I've never been. I like these movies. They're never my jam, you know, but I really, really like this. I thought it was really cool.
And when it continued inside, when Shang-Chi was fighting, I don't know the character.
Death Dealer.
That was a really cool fight because it was kind of like you could see the whole thing. Like, it was just the two of them fighting, and there was like bright lights behind them, and you just saw, like, I don't know, it wasn't up close. It was like you were seeing this whole fight, and it was going like super fast, but it was like you could tell what was happening, and it was really cool looking.
Yeah,
yeah, I like it when there's good lighting on things. Yes. One of the things I think was the most, spoilers for Signs, one of the things that I think was the most shocking thing about Signs was the first time they showed the alien, it was full view, bright daylight. Right. Like, whoa.
So, and then when you go back and watch it again, you can see it standing on top of the barn, and it's very chilling.
Yeah.
It is chilling.
One thing that I really liked.
That movie suffers in the third act, too.
One thing that I really liked, and probably my favorite, it's not a whole fight, but the sister Shaolin, that I've always loved that rope daggery thing. Like, I think that's the coolest weapon ever. Yeah. And it was cool when Go-Go
Inspector Gadget.
No, Go-Go something from Kill Bill.
Oh,
she
yeah.
used it too.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
But hers had a big mace on the end of it.
Yeah, yeah.
But I think that thing is so cool, and it's like, it's terrifying. Oh, back to the scaffolding thing. That was also scary for me. Like, you felt like you were going to fall over.
Yeah, it didn't seem like fake. And then when Katie fell off and like she was falling, I was like, did this kill her? Because it did like the slow-mo fall where she's like screaming and reaching up. But
yeah,
obviously she didn't die there. But like, I was like, wow.
another fight I did enjoy, and normally in the martial arts movies, I'm not a huge fan of because there's no stakes in it or anything, was the fight in the garden between Shang-Chi's mother.
The crouching tiger, hidden dragon.
Yeah, that was just really cool. Because it also didn't last forever either, which some of these movies, they go a little long on all these fights.
And you could see like their sexual tension increasing. Like, it started as a fight, but then it became like a love dance.
Yeah, the dance fight. And then at the end when Shang-Chi is fighting his father, there are some of the same moves and shots.
Yeah, the camera's moves are the same.
Oh,
like,
yeah. I do recall that. Yep. I like that.
One thing I noticed from on our second watch was, you know, the 10 rings when Shang-Chi gets them and they turn orange?
Yeah.
Like good guy?
Yeah.
Orange?
Yeah.
They're blue for his
dad.
That's
nice. I like that. And,
but when in that garden fight, when the mother takes control of them, they turn orange for a minute while
she
has control over them. And then they go back to.
Yeah, I didn't even notice that.
Wen Wu and he, like, they turn back blue.
Nice.
Yeah.
I didn't notice that. That's pretty cool.
Yeah. So I thought that was really cool.
Yeah.
And then she also had that signature move where she swept around behind.
Sweep the leg.
Yeah. Like that circle when she was starting. And then when Shang-Chi did it, we're like, ooh, he's learned. He's unlocked his Tao Lo powers.
With the help of the dragon.
The Great Protector.
Yeah. The Great Protector. Yeah.
Who has a problematic name in the comics.
Yes, it does.
any other fights?
Trying to remember anything else, but those are the ones that stood out to me.
Yeah, there were no fights I didn't like.
Yeah,
no, I agree.
Like, the bus one was the least.
Oh, the bus one was cool.
Like, I mean, there's it was awesome. The bus one was awesome, but it was the least.
Yeah, I was surprised when it happened at the beginning of the movie because I remember it from the trailer, and it just seemed like that would be like
a big
like in the middle of the movie fight, as opposed to like basically the first fight with Shang-Chi.
Yep. All right. On a scale of Agent Coulson to Captain Marvel, where does Shang-Chi fall on the power / usefulness scale when dealing with an Avengers level threat?
All right, pre-rings or post-rings?
Yeah.
I think as he is today. I think with rings. So he's going to have to be in your Hawkeye, Black Widow area, right?
Yeah, because you can still shoot him.
Yeah, you can see he's still a good human. Shot. He doesn't have any.
The rings can block a lot.
He's immortal, but he can die. Like he doesn't age.
What if he takes the rings off?
Yeah, if he takes the rings off, he will.
I imagine he'll take them off more.
Yeah,
because he's not a jerk.
That's true.
Yeah. So it's like Hawkeye probably has a shield arrow or something that he can use in, like the rings.
He had a name. It was Quicksilver.
So the rings, I think, are just a fancy weapon. The only thing that maybe puts him a little bit above like a Black Widow is he can, I guess, do some airbending. Like he can do
air stuff.
Well, if
he has the rings, right?
Yeah.
No, wait.
No, he doesn't need the rings for that.
Yeah, because he did it when
he got a little magic or something.
Yeah, when he shot the rings into the dragon.
Yeah.
The soul sucker.
You know, I will put him a couple of steps forward of Hawkeye and Black Widow, I think. He's certainly no Captain Marvel. He may be on the level of like total, like a Captain America, maybe as far as strength goes, like what he can bring to a fight.
I don't know.
Because he can basically do what his mom could do at the beginning of the movie, you know, and she didn't have rings.
Yeah.
But I mean, he received that magic from the protector.
Even without the rings, he's got some magic going on.
Yeah.
So I think that puts him above any of your.
I don't know about a couple of steps, though.
Step and a half is as far down as I'll go. Yeah. Definitely a full step, though.
But again, I wouldn't put Captain America and Bucky that far above Black Widow.
They're super.
Huh?
They could punch a hole through her head if they really wanted to.
She could get that done if she needed to.
Not anymore.
Or so you think.
No, I'm pretty sure she's done in the MCU now.
Nah.
Sadly. I mean, that sinks, but they did kill her. So.
Yeah.
Spoilers, everybody. I mean.
I just rewatched that movie. It was really good.
I give him a solid. So where would you put what would number wise, where would you put like, this is your scale.
Yeah.
So Captain Marvel and like probably
Captain Marvel is,
she's a 10,
100.
Uh-huh.
A 10. Well, okay. A 10.
Fine. 10. 10's easier. Where would you put Captain America?
I would put Captain America at a 5.
So just inherently, I would give him a 6 because I like him more than you do. Like, so I
and
would
you
put,
don't like to agree with me
and I would put
on principle.
So then I'm putting Shang-Chi at a 5.
Yeah, I would do Captain America, Bucky.
I put him on the same level as Iron Man. I mean, with the suit. It's not like you can take, you know, he's...
Yeah, Iron Man may be a little bit more because he has a lot of weapons and he will kill you.
Yeah.
He don't care.
So will Bucky.
And Captain will. Captain America will.
If he has to. But Black Widow and Hawkeye, I'm putting them at like 3s.
I think that's fair.
I mean, so Shang-Chi's, he's on a Captain America level. Like maybe a little, maybe a hair higher just because of that inherent magic he has.
Yeah, I would.
He's super.
I don't know. I would
fighting.
Go lower than Captain America, I think.
Yeah.
Because you're right. Captain America, like. You can pretty much kill him. Like you can do
Nobody
a lot of things
did.
To him that will make
I'll him tell you what,
die.
He should be higher than all of them because he didn't hit through.
What about a Sam? Where does Sam go? If Black Widow and Hawkeye are 3,
he's got to be on the
Sam's
same level.
Two.
As, he's no, he's on the same level, just a hair below Iron Man because he won't kill, but he's all machine too.
Sam?
Yeah.
No, he just has those wings.
Yeah, that's all he has.
Yeah, so he's like, I think he's down below.
But with the wings, he's way better than Hawkeye or...
No, with the wings, even with the wings, Black Widow would kill him.
I disagree. 100%. I don't know about that.
He can
that.
Make like a wing shield.
Yeah, well,
yeah, wing
she can get
wing
through
shield.
That. She can get through
and
that.
I wish we had a video podcast because Michael put his hands above his in front of his face.
Well,
that was great. Well, anyway, Shang-Chi's up there. He's definitely in your top 50%.
Low tier.
No,
high low tier.
Absolutely not. No.
He's in my upper tier.
I could go as high as 7.
I feel like most of them
7.
I could go as high as 7 because he rode a dragon.
Who hasn't ridden a dragon?
Everybody else.
7.
6.5. That's my answer.
Not a lot of the characters have powers.
Yeah, it's true.
They all rely on technology.
He has powers and super rings now.
Yeah.
And a pretty cool suit.
Yeah, I like a suit. Dragon scale.
It was nice.
Well, where do you put Quill? He had that celestial power.
Well, he doesn't anymore.
Yeah, that's true.
Now he's got guns.
What's that arrow thing?
Oh, he doesn't have that.
No, I know. What's his name that has that?
Well, it was Yondu, but now it's
Kraglin?
Kraglin,
yeah.
James Gunn's brother. That's who has it. Taser face.
Taser face. All right. Question 5. Shang-Chi's sister, Shaolin, runs an underground fight arena thing where we see a Black Widow fight an extremist, Wong fight Abomination, and Shang-Chi fight Shaolin. What other fight pairings from the MCU would you like to see?
Before I answer that, what is going on with Wong and Abomination? I want to know more about them just hanging out, leaving together.
Yeah, there's some. Like,
are they pals?
If you look at when Wong opens the portal after they leave the fight place, it looks like a holding facility.
Oh, really?
So the theory is Wong is training Abomination to be some sort of like Dark Avenger type of thing. I bet Abomination will show up in whatever Julia Louis-Dreyfus is doing.
Can he turn back into a human? Does anybody remember?
A Beale.
Like Hulk?
I don't know.
We'll find out.
Okay.
Probably.
I don't want
to be weird to just bring him out.
I don't want to mention casting information.
what was the question again? Pairings. Now that we've been talking about
it. I want to see Black Widow fight Sam.
Sam, absolutely.
She would win. She would win against Bucky.
We'll never see it.
She would win against Bucky.
Oh, she absolutely would not.
Yeah, no, she would.
Maybe. She's real lucky.
They've already fought.
They did fight.
Yeah.
It was kind of he won. Knocked her out, I believe.
I don't think
so. Yeah, or she like got away.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
Winter Soldier. Oh, there was some good fights.
Well, he ambushed her.
Well, that's true.
He had the high ground, too.
Yeah. Oh, yeah, that'll get you every time.
Yeah. Like a fair fight in our backyard. There's the cover over the pool.
Oh, no. You use that, too.
Okay, well.
But his arm will get all rusted. That's a problem.
And you better hope one of those, what's the name of the guard?
Dora Milaje?
Yeah. Better hope they're not there with their arm decoding powers.
Yeah, and it was just like,
boop,
and it just falls off.
It sure does.
It's kind of funnier. No, that's the fight I want to see, absolutely. I'll try. Let me think of another one.
I'll go with Scott Lang and Hope. As like with
she'll kill him.
But with their Ant-Man powers.
Yeah, no, she'll kill him in any respect.
I don't know. I think he's really good now.
I would like to see a straight-up fight rematch between Hulk and Thanos. No, actually not true. Thanos and Captain Marvel with just a couple of gems or stones, not the power.
Just one, whatever she has. Where did she get her power from?
Space one. Space. Yeah,
you can have that one.
Like, yeah.
I think that would be a good fight. We need to see her like have more fights. She's never really, besides Thanos. I mean, she just beat everybody up in her movie.
Yeah. Her move is to just destroy ships.
Yeah. She's good at it. Yeah. She's real good at it.
She's what do they call them? Capital vessel. She's a capital ship. She's not doing your dog fights.
No. You know, I could also go War Machine and Sam Captain America. That would be kind of cool. Like Civil War II.
Yeah. Yeah. See, I think War Machine will kill him.
No.
Because the
Michael,
only reason.
What'll he do? he did the hands in front of the face.
Well, the only reason that.
Wing shield
that every time Cap was able to go toe to toe with Tony is because he had the super serum,
but he had Bucky with him too, by the way.
Well, yeah,
like so.
So,
well,
like,
but well, no,
Sam's just a guy with wings.
You act like he's like Kite Man from DC, he just has a kite on his back. They're pretty good wings,
they're good wings,
they're great wings,
and he has a drone.
It's almost as good as Iron Man. That's not true,
it's not anywhere close to as good as Iron Man.
As soon as I said it, I know.
I don't think either of you are going to convince each other. So,
are you saying move on?
Yes,
okay. Anything else about Shaolin? Because this is the only question I have about her. And this question isn't even about her.
I want to know what's going on with her going forward, like reforming the Ten Rings.
Do you think her and Sharon Carter, the power broker, are like in cahoots or something? Like, I think there's definitely, she's sending Madripoor people over to this fight club.
What about Elaine, too? She's in on everything, I think.
Yeah?
Yeah.
What's her name again?
Val.
Got it.
The Countess.
She's Baroness. Julia Louis-Dreyfus.
Baroness, I think.
Baroness.
No, right? That's from G.I. Joe.
Countess.
Well, we'll find out more later.
Yeah.
I those three are all in cahoots. That's what I'm going with.
Yeah. I liked her. I liked her haircut. It was a good haircut.
Yeah.
She could probably hold her own with Black Widows.
Yeah, it seemed like she was training Black Widows at the end, even though they weren't Black Widows.
Yeah.
I'm just more curious to see what's going to go on next with her. That's pretty cool.
Yeah.
I hope this isn't one of those dangling threads that Marvel doesn't go back to, which happens sometimes.
Yeah.
Yeah, I guess it'll depend how much interest there is.
Sure. Well, they did say the Ten Rings will return.
They did.
But is it the rings, the physical rings, or is it the army?
They absolutely will, because that was the other post-credit scene. I mean,
so. But they didn't say... Shang-Chi would return, which I thought was
I read an interview about that. Because he'll obviously be back, but they said this sounded cooler. Yeah, he'll be back. We teased that in the mid-credit sequence, you know? So, yeah. They're like, no, it just sounded cooler. Which they're right.
Yeah.
All right. Wen Wu, Shang-Chi's father, had a pretty compelling story/motivation for his actions in the movie. What do you think of his arc, and how does it compare to other villains from the MCU? I don't think he was the big bad. We're going to talk about the big bad in a minute, but he was definitely the villain.
Yeah,
and very complicated.
He was very complicated, and I'm still more. I would like to know more about how he wooed his wife.
That fight dance.
I understand that, but then they just kind of like they were fighting to the death. Quote at that point, you know, because he's trying to go in and. Whatever. What was he trying to do?
He's trying to get access to Tao Lo.
For what, though? For the power?
Yeah.
He's a mad power.
It was the only place left on Earth that he couldn't conquer.
Yeah. So he went from like those memes when it's like, you know, like Thor in Thor and Dark World, where he's like the big strong guy. And then Thor in Ragnarok, where he's just like a little pussycat or whatever. He turned on a dime at that point and then turned back. That was a little weird, you know, like, oh.
Yeah, it seems like all was forgiven.
Real quick.
Yeah.
Well, like, who knows how fast.
A thousand years of
he was a
conquest.
Power mad, crazy person. Yeah. And then, he seems nice now. We'll go out. We'll read this book under this waterfall. It'll be fine. Just put the rings
nice
away.
Waterfall.
Yeah. And then he puts the rings away and then immediately puts them back on.
Immediately. It wasn't immediately.
It was like 5 years.
It was after
years.
His wife died.
Yeah, like 10 years.
It was murdered.
10 years tops. Still. Six and a half, Michael. Yeah, that's my only issue with him. Like, it was like, oh, we're setting up a real... Oh, this guy. All right. Like, he just... Yeah, it was a little weird in the middle. I got his motivations, and then he just went crazy, which happens with a lot of these Marvel villains. He could have been a lot better, is my point.
I don't think he just went crazy. Like
he started hearing dead people that weren't there, and everybody in the world like, no, he's crazy.
Yeah, but he's
it was
also
a dragon or
but
whatever.
He was hearing it though.
Yeah, he was hearing it, and he's been to this magical realm with all this magical stuff.
Well, no, he didn't go in.
Well, he's been to the doorway, and there was all that magic there.
I've been to a Ferrari dealership. I'm not getting in the car. I don't think it's the same thing. It's not. It's good enough. It's like going across the lake to the Magic Kingdom and not going in. Like, oh, that was a nice little trip across Seven Seas Lagoon, but I'll just go get back on the monorail now.
Yeah. Yeah, I don't think he just went crazy. I think they laid it out pretty well.
Well, I think they laid it out fine. I just didn't compel me to be. Compared to other villains. Yeah, he compared to a lot of the other weaker villains in the MCU, in my opinion.
I don't agree.
Yeah, I liked him. What I thought was interesting about him was the middle section, because the opening shot of the movie, or the opening scene of the movie, you see how bad he is. Like,
yeah.
He's conquering whatever that place was. And then they talk about history or whatever. But then when you first actually meet him in the movie, like in present day, like he kind of seems like a nice guy, except the fact that he like lured his brother and sister to steal their like pendants. But like he wants to bring the family back together. Like, and he seems like the quote unquote rational person when they're sitting around the dinner table or whatever. And it's like, oh, well, that's an interesting way to take. Because, I mean, I knew he was a villain still, but it was like an interesting.
But he wasn't villainous.
Yeah. Like, he obviously had, like, his. He was driven by.
Power.
Yeah. The power, and, like, it had consumed him to the point. And then add that to the fact that this dweller in the darkness is, like, reaching out to him.
Well, he had a brief respite of how many years where he wasn't, like, 10, power mad and crazy.
Yeah.
And then he went back to that.
Yeah.
So it's like, yeah, all right.
No, probably when he was a teenager too.
Well, yeah. Did it say when he got the rings?
About 1,000 years ago.
Yeah, just about. Was he an adult already? Did they say that?
They didn't.
Yeah. Anyway, yeah.
But yeah, I liked him as a villain more than a lot of the other villains because he was related to the main character too.
Yeah.
There was like a personal stake.
Yeah.
Kind of the same way like the Thanos and Gamora, like there was like a relationship there that was more than these two people just met and they hate each other. It was like there was like a like a past to them. And with Shang-Chi and his father, it was weird because there had been such a gap in their like relationship.
Yeah.
From when he left.
What did Nebula do to Thanos?
I don't
like
know.
How bad of a kid was she? Like
I think he just didn't like the color.
Stop victim blaming Will.
He's awful. I'm not.
He just didn't like the color blue. He preferred green.
I don't know what his issue was, but like it was awful.
Yeah, I thought they did a good job of developing Wenwu. I think he's sort of on the level of Thanos, Killmonger.
No.
As far as story development.
Oh. No.
And actually, I think he's better than Killmonger, but Batman, Michael Keaton,
Joker,
yeah, like that type of level,
Vulture?
and not on the
Joker.
I thought we were just doing word association, now.
And not like a the bad guy from Doctor Strange, who like he had weird eyes.
Dormammu?
No, the guy with the weird eyes.
Kaecilius. Mads Mikkelsen.
Yeah, he was just.
He's no. What was the guy in Iron Man? Businessman. Again, another weak Marvel villain. You know, he's not there. But I would again put him about a 6.5, maybe a 7.
Yeah, I feel like they've just been doing a very good job more recently, of developing the bad guys.
Yeah, I don't think it's as good as.
I agree with that.
I don't think it's as good as Thanos. Just Thanos was more of a. There was more drama to them. Yeah.
But you got his motivation. You get Wenwu's motivation.
Yeah.
Like Wenwu.
Not really.
You do. The reason that he goes
I
to
get it. I just Talo, don't think it's certainly not as good as Thanos.
But think about it. If you lost your wife.
Sure.
And.
I can't find her.
And a.
Are you hearing her call out to you?
Some demon convinces you that her soul is trapped somewhere.
That's what demons do.
Yeah.
And like you can feel her and all of that. And she's calling to you to save her. You would do whatever you could to save her.
I would.
Like if that happened to Michael.
I'm calling to you.
Yeah. If Michael's like.
I can hear you.
Will.
There's dragons.
Michael dies and he's like, Will.
Well, this is getting
the
dark.
The podcast needs you or needs me. Come save me. You would do anything you could.
I agree with all this. Save I do. But here's my problem with this was just initially, he just had too much. If he didn't have that 1,000 years before, I think I would have a lot more sympathy for
this guy.
Yeah,
that is a little.
That was a bit much.
That part is. Kind of Anakin and the Younglings. Spoilers
take out that part, and I agree 100% with everything you say.
Yeah.
And I agree with you. I just, it did nothing for me because it's like, well, this guy's been power mad for 1,000 years, and then he meets his lady, and he's like, nah, I'm cool now. And she's like, nah, you're cool now.
I wonder, do we know how much she actually knew about him?
I don't know.
She was telling the story.
Oh, yeah.
The beginning.
Yeah. So, yeah, I just, she knows. That was too much for me. Where it kind of takes the shine off a little bit for me. Like, it just.
But he was also, like, I guess parenthood changes people, right? They say.
Sure.
And when he was training his son to become an assassin,
sure,
he seemed to love him.
And you know, that was after
he was, like, just threw his daughter out for the garbage.
But that was after his wife died, so that was part of his.
Yeah. So like it was still there.
Yeah.
Deep down.
And then he started hearing voices from a giant dragon or whatever.
Soul Sucker. That one wasn't a dragon.
Yeah, we'll get to that.
It was one Soul Sucker.
Yeah.
Dweller in the Darkness.
What? Again, we'll get there.
All right. Aside from the Shu family, we meet some pretty fun side characters in Shang-Chi. What did you think of the supporting cast and characters? And I'm going to start with...
I swear if you don't say Awkwafina.
I'm going to start with... I am an Awkwafina fan.
There it is. Yeah.
And this movie...
Water sustains life.
This movie not only has Michelle Yeoh, who I am delighted whenever she graces my screen, mm-hmm. but also an Awkwafina combo, and it was delightful. And furthermore, they did a little Olafing with Awkwafina in the first trailers, and I thought she was going to be super annoying, but she was super delightful.
Oh, did they?
She was funny when she was, like, funny. She was serious when she was serious. She did a great job.
And who knew, and she became like a part, like an Avenger, basically. Like, she's part of the team now.
Like Hawkeye that seems Jr. like a stretch. Like,
it was a stretch.
She killed the Dweller in the Darkness.
Okay. Listen, is Shuri an Avenger?
Because according to this podcast, she is the greatest Avenger.
Because
Shuri's on the team, so like I would consider Katie on the team. Like,
Katie doesn't even make the scale.
I thought Katie would just be like the comic side relief, but she would have nothing to do with the saving, you know, whatever had to be saved before we saw the movie.
Yeah.
So I was surprised that
I liked her more than Shang-Chi for the most part. She was more compelling to me at times. Like, I mean, his family's real interesting and he was cool, but what else is he? Like, we didn't learn a ton about him.
Yeah.
You know, it's kind of like Captain Marvel, like, you know, in her movie. Like, I assume we'll learn more later, but like, it's just because they're in the title, it doesn't mean they're the most interesting character. Awkwafina is the most interesting character in this movie, in my opinion. Actually, the father was, because I want to know more about
the father was
years.
Way more interesting.
Like, the 1,000 years, and you can just turn...
Michelle Yeoh, how's she doing all that
What's
stuff?
Going on
She's in... more interesting
yeah,
than
we
Awkwafina.
Don't know, I mean... And I like that. I don't know what I don't know anybody's name, but that guy who taught Awkwafina how to shoot arrows, that was pretty cool.
Oh, yeah.
He was Mr. Magoo.
Yeah, he was just a grumpy guy who was cool.
Yeah. Yeah.
And then there's the Mandarin. Trevor.
Trevor Slattery.
Okay, I'm going to say something that is not popular on the internet right now. What was the little dog thing?
Morris?
Yeah, I don't like that at all.
Get out of this house.
That did nothing for me.
What
did
he like about him?
Creepy without eyes. Just creeps me out.
But that's like a Chinese thing.
It did nothing for me. I didn't like it.
It sounds like you don't like any of the non-human characters in the movie.
Mm-hmm. That is true. That is absolutely true.
Face or no face.
Morris was adorable.
He was fun.
He was the best.
He guided them through the maze.
I think
he was better than everybody else in that movie.
Okay. Nice. Trevor, it was nice to see him again. And it's nice that Ben Kingsley was in it. But it didn't do a lot for me either. Like, the joke wore a little thin. The only joke that was really good is when he was playing dead, actually. Like, that was the part. Like, okay, it all...
I like the Planet of the Apes stuff.
Yeah, that was funny. It absolutely was.
But when he was doing his, like, I'm a Shakespearean, like, I don't... Stop. Move on.
It also is kind of dumb because they would have killed him immediately. Like, in my head canon. Like, stop pretending to be Ten Rings Mandarin. Like, you're dead.
Yeah.
Like, that's what I thought. Anyway. But yeah, but the playing dead was pretty funny.
And when they got in Razor Fist's car and they opened the door and he was in the front seat and he was like, "Do you mind I get sick in the back?"
Yeah, there was some good comic relief, but I could have used some more Awkwafina comic relief at that point too. I'm just saying. He stole some of her fun.
Yeah, she provided the comic relief for the first half of the movie, and then he provided the comic relief for the second half of the movie.
Yeah, when she got serious.
Which
yeah.
is when I liked the first half of the movie.
She turned
into
a dragon archer.
All of a sudden.
Yeah, that was a bit. That's a long shot.
They're also in a magical realm, so you don't know, like...
That's true. It is magic, Will.
Yeah.
I understand.
They're in another dimension.
But...
They're not in this world.
That's my whole point. This movie took a turn where I didn't like it. I liked it fine, like, overall, but I liked it a lot more before they went to... What's that place called?
Talo.
Talo.
Talo, yeah.
All right. So, speaking of... Question 8. The Big Bad was a super soul sucker who, I guess, was trying to eat every soul on Earth. Will, what do you think of the Big Bad? And was this one of Dr. Facilier's friends on the other side?
It was hot garbage.
Dweller in darkness.
It was hot garbage. And it didn't, it looked weird.
It did
just
look weird.
And just not that menacing to me.
It just smelled bad.
It just looked big and ugly. And it was one of the weakest Marvel villains I've ever seen. Like, just big giant monster.
You know how in Star Trek and Star Wars, they like take an ice cream maker and glue stuff to it?
Yeah.
Or a razor and glue stuff to it.
Mm-hmm.
It kind of like that, the Dweller in Darkness seemed like they took the files from Avatar from the Banshees and glued some stuff on it.
And what is it? What
is this? The big
demon
monster. Yeah. That's wants to suck all the souls of the everybody in the.
And what were those little planet things?
Those were the soul cat. Like, they would go out and get the souls to feed the Dweller in the Darkness, which I thought was really cool. Like, the way they visualized it.
I like.
Like, where they're going, like, cool. The person would immediately die, and then you'd see them carrying, like, the soul back and drop it in the mouth of the thing. Like, I just thought that was a cool idea.
The movie lost me at that point. When Shang-Chi's fighting his father in front of the thing, and I was like, don't let it out. I don't want to see this. Like,
oh, you know they're letting it out.
I knew they were going to let it out, but a lot of movies in the old days, they wouldn't let it out because of it. That's too expensive. We're not doing that. You would have seen like a head or something, like, oh, no, no, because we can't do CGI. But now, just because you can do something, maybe you shouldn't, because it did. I'm sorry. It did nothing for me. And then they allow, then there's that happy dragon or whatever that they all of a sudden learn how to fly.
The great
whatever.
Protector.
Okay.
They didn't fly him. He let them ride. He gave him a lift.
Cool.
They talked about like how the,
and then Awkwafina off the street can just kill him. I sorry, man, they lost me there. I loved her, but all of a sudden she's an archer after like 4 hours.
No, it aim at nothing. Been a day. Hit nothing.
It'd have been a day. Apologies.
Yeah,
it was a good line.
I do love that she was like, yesterday I had never even shot a bow and arrow.
Yeah, yeah, that's why I was thinking like maybe in this realm like stuff comes like more naturally to people. Like, they're all skilled at like whatever they're doing.
Well,
because there's like other creatures there, like
pivot tables.
Yeah,
you can also
that
say
one
like,
guy is the pivot table.
With her driving skills, she has some good hand-eye coordination already.
Sure.
So
it was dumb. I'm sorry. It was just kind of dumb.
I don't necessarily mind that she's the one that shot the arrow. I just don't think that bow would have enough power to get that far.
Well, it certainly wasn't.
Because that thing
Hobbit
was really far up and she was off the water a little bit.
Yeah. It kind of just got turned into a big CGI fight that just did nothing for me at that point. Like, and I didn't hate it. It just did nothing like for me. Yeah. Like, I was like, oh, let's get this over so we can have the recap.
When we watched it again last night, it was pretty short, that part. And
yeah, surprisingly short.
Yeah. And like, I can totally get the, like, if you're not into two giant monsters being the big final fight scene, I could see where you'd be like, I don't need this. This is nothing.
Well,
what
unless
is this?
That's the movie.
Yeah.
Because Godzilla versus Kong, I enjoyed that fight, but I knew what I was in for.
But it would be like, or people like you would say,
how dare you?
It would be like watching Snow White and the Seven Dwarfs.
Mm-hmm.
And then the big final scene was Godzilla versus King Kong.
Yeah.
What?
And, well, this is cool, but this
Snow
is not
White, Snow White riding Godzilla.
Yeah. Like, and the evil witch turns into King Kong. What? What's
no,
happening?
The evil witch doesn't turn into King
no,
Kong.
No, just I'm trying here.
Well, like, I mean, it's kind of like Sleeping Beauty. The witch turns into a dragon.
Yeah, that lasts like
but
literally
see, that,
a dragon.
But see, that draws a line from that stake to this other stake. This is like...
Maleficent has been
suddenly
awful the whole
here's
time.
King Kong and Godzilla.
Yeah, in Snow White. Like, yeah. Now, the fantastical elements, that's one thing.
Yeah.
but it turns into King Kong versus Godzilla, and that's not what I signed up for here.
Yeah,
the best parts of this movie is when they were fighting using just martial arts fights with each other. Like Shang-Chi versus his father, that was, there were stakes there. It was cool. Like there was emotion.
There was also magic.
Yeah, I agree. I like the Harry Potter movies. But like, you know, Harry and Voldemort didn't conjure up Godzilla and King Kong at the end. They fought each other.
They did whipped cream, like some weird like foam thing.
I was like, what are we doing?
Yeah.
Like
I could totally see that criticism. I didn't mind it, but like I could see where people would be like, what are we doing here? Because like it also, there was never a Chekhov soul sucker or anything in the beginning of the movie. Like maybe if Wen Wu had fought it.
And put it behind in that the wall thousand or years
like or whatever and it. Killed it. And then it was like luring out to kill him.
But then I've been predictable. I liked how this, I liked the 180 turn. Like it was
a demon.
Oh, you know what else I didn't like? Sorry to interrupt. But everybody except Wen Wu knows, like, oh, that's big giant monster back there. Everybody, even his guys are like,
well, he was blinded by his love.
I understand, but it was just like everybody knows except him. And it's just like, dude, buddy, this is a big giant monster. That's all it is. Well, luckily we have Awkwafina with a bow and arrow over here. She learned yesterday.
Yeah. Imagine. I was going to say that you don't hate all dragons because you like Elliot from Pete's Dragon.
I love him so much. The Gogans were a better villain than this giant dragon, right. This soul sucker.
In addition to a multiversal time warp between WandaVision, Shang-Chi, and Doctor Strange and Wong being seemingly everywhere all the time, MCU is ramping up its mystical fantasy side. What are you excited about this direction, and how far do you think they'll push it?
Now, can I say something in my defense?
What?
I hated the crap in the end of this movie, but I'm super excited about the fantastical, mystical elements going forward. This is all very exciting to me, as long as there's just not a giant monster at the end that means nothing.
No, it sounds like you'd be fine with a giant monster if
it was earned.
Doctor Strange and the Multiverse of Madness. Yeah, okay, I'm in. Like whatever it happens now, like Wanda versus Doctor Strange possibly, and they conjure up some dragons. Cool. You know, I don't know. Or just a big giant version.
Yeah, I guess Dormammu, the giant floating head, like he was still driving eye makeup the whole time.
Yeah.
What?
Like he was driving
Kaecilius.
Yeah.
And that was also not a big, this was also a predictable, like, you know, fight. Like Dr. Strange versus Dormammu was really interesting how he defeated him. Like that was cool. But I'm excited about the direction, honestly. How far they'll push it? They're going to get weird in this phase.
Yeah, I think it's super interesting. Like the movies are kind of going towards like the magical stuff. The movies seem like that. But then we also have this like Kang the Conqueror multiverse war thing. So like, I wonder if this is like phase 4 and 5 or.
But there's also, then you also have the elements of like galactic beings that are like beyond our comprehension when you have like the mortals and like those people that created celestials or whoever that created them. Yeah. Like it seems like they're going to possibly be part of the MCU.
I feel like we kind of opened that up with like your Guardians, Captain Marvel, like that whole thing, like took us into space.
Yeah. They went from like Earth to space, and then we went from space to magic.
Yeah.
And then magic to like time stuff.
Yeah.
That seems to be like the trajectory.
Multiverse
too. Yeah.
Yeah.
So it's like all being.
No, they can literally do anything now.
Yeah.
That's what they're setting up. Like, yeah, we can do whatever we want now. Look, they've been doing whatever they wanted since they got a talking tree over. Like, all right. And a talking raccoon. Like, yeah, okay, I'm in. Whatever. Like, it's fine.
I was listening to the Weekly Planet and they were like, they could, for the next 10 years, release absolute garbage and would still be fine.
Yeah.
Probably for 10 years.
Yeah. It would still make $500 million each just from the opening weekend and like worldwide.
Yeah, because we'd all be like, oh, well, the next one will be the good.
Yeah.
They finally had a bad one, but now
they're due. Track. I mean, they haven't had a bad movie, and that's insane.
Thor the Dark World.
It's not bad.
Would like a word.
It's not bad.
It is bad.
Rise of Skywalker would like a word. Thor Dark World is way better than Rise of Skywalker.
No.
All right.
I think so.
Finally, what seeds planted or threads woven in Shang-Chi are you most excited about for further exploration? And what ideas do you have about where they may go?
Mine are the rings. I want to learn more about the rings because that after credit scene with Wong really intrigued me.
And the beacon?
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. I also want to know more about Hulk's arm, if it's ever going to get better. Because it was in a sling again, and he can go back to Bruce now. What's happening with Hulk now? That's what I want to know.
I guess we'll find She-Hulk, maybe.
Yeah. Maybe, yeah. I was curious about that. But yeah. the rings are, and the 10 rings, like we said earlier, the organization. I think that might be on a smaller scale for maybe one of our shows or something.
Yeah, yeah. Oh, yeah, I can see that being a show.
The actual rings, that's going to play in. Like, it's a beacon for something. Like, that's pretty cool.
Yeah, and
but what it would seem like it would have to be something good because the beacon started when the good guy used the rings.
We don't know that.
Yeah, huh? It said the first time you, Shang-Chi, used it, we felt the power in.
Since he wasn't using it for evil or whatever.
Right.
You know? Like, yeah, so that, yeah, that's interesting.
Yeah.
I mean, everything's connected, and Kamar-Taj and like the sorcerers are connected to the universe.
Yeah.
Didn't know who Thanos was, but I mean, that's still kind of weird. But like, you know, yeah, that's
he was new at being the sorcerer.
It's true. Wong should have known.
Yeah.
He probably didn't know. You didn't see that part.
Yeah.
Yeah. That's
who's Thanos.
That's a really good point.
Oh yeah. Thanos. I know him. That's my Benedict Cumberbatch's American.
That's really, really bad.
Nah, this is it.
That's awful.
It's very broad. Brad.
Michael's right. It's the rinks. That's the answer.
And I want to see where Shang-Chi and Katie show up next. Like, I'm really curious, like, what their, beyond like their own movies, like, what is their role going to be in the MCU?
I love Awkwafina, but so far she's plucky and can shoot a bow and arrow in Tao Lo. I don't know if she can do it everywhere else.
She can drive really well.
She can drive.
Maybe she'll be on the Hawkeye show.
But I'm sorry, if she like popped up on the field out of the swirly things in Endgame, like, she's going to die real quick.
Yeah.
Well, maybe she's in training now.
I agree, but you know, she needs to level up a bit.
Like, at least Shuri has those.
Yeah. Yeah, she's shooters. Yeah. That wasn't her first war either. No. You know, like, but Katie needs to level up before we see her again in any kind of bigger anything.
I think she's going to be hanging out with Ned in the back.
Oh, that's fantastic. Ned wasn't there. Come on. Huh? Ned wasn't there.
No, either. In the back of the school library.
No, and I want to see Shang-Chi level up too. Like, start to learn more about his powers and that kind of stuff too. That's going to be really cool.
Yeah.
Yeah. Cool. All right. And that was 10 questions about Shang-Chi and the Legend of the 10 Rings.
Best thing ever for me.
Oh, yeah. Best thing ever or garbage? Best thing ever 100% for me. I think Will thinks it's garbage, but he's not going to say it.
I don't think it's garbage.
Is it your Hercules?
And I don't think Thor Dark World is garbage either. I don't think there's a garbage Marvel movie.
Thor Dark World.
It's not. It's not. Incredible Hulk is the worst Marvel movie, actually. In my opinion.
Not in my opinion.
Well, yeah.
I haven't fallen asleep in Thor Dark World
Have you seen Incredible Hulk again?
Yeah.
No. It's not.
Yeah, great. We recently did a rewatch.
It's best thing ever, but it's not the best Marvel movie
ever. That was part of my unemployment. It was Marvel movies and RuPaul's Drag Race.
There's not a bad Marvel movie, so it's best thing ever. Yeah. And I had a good time. I enjoyed it. I liked it. I didn't love it.
I really hope we never have I hope there's never a Marvel movie where it's just like, ooh, that was bad. Like,
there's some really good stuff in all of those movies.
Yeah.
Like, even Thor Dark World, there's some good stuff in there. And there's great stuff in Shang-Chi. Yeah, I feel like
the convergence at the end.
Again, it had a bad ending. There's nothing, to me, that didn't do anything.
Of what?
At Thor Dark World.
No, like where everything was, like reality was weird or something. I thought that was cool, I think.
I like this.
Once they got back to Earth.
Yeah, I think the whole thing's fine. Like, I don't even hate Iron Man 2. Like, I think there's some good stuff in there, too.
Iron Man 2's whips.
Yeah, but not really. That's not what it's about. Like, Justin Hammer's awesome.
Yeah.
Like, you know, and Iron Man, it's about, you know, Iron Man, and it was like kind of the fake addiction storyline, but, you know, like.
Yeah.
And there was a 10 Rings agent in that movie.
Yeah, and he learned about himself. Like, that's why that movie's probably a little underrated, in my opinion. And Thor Dark World's fine. But and Shang-Chi was amazing until the last act. I just didn't care about the last act. But then as soon as the fight was over, I was absolutely back in again.
Did you like it? Did you like Talo at all? Or was it just when the like the
It was when the fight started. The
demons came out.
Yeah,
and stuff?
And it was just like, this is very paint by numbers at this point. Oh, we have a good dragon to fight the bad dragon too.
Okay. What's a dragon?
Whatever. Like it's a what it like what is it?
Demon.
It's a demon.
Cool.
At least that's what they said. They said it was a demon.
It was an Ekron.
It was.
It's not an Ekron.
Ekron would have made, because those, whatever. I liked it until the end. But I love the post credits.
Yeah.
And when they went to karaoke.
Yeah, I love that too.
It was great.
I love it when they do stuff like that.
So, Hotel California, like a weapon of confusion, it's what Quill did with the dance off to save the universe. Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Which again, on paper, is just a how that got filmed. And somebody goes, I don't know, man. Yeah. No, I'm going to film it. It's going to be cool.
It'll be fine.
Yeah.
All right. Check us out on the internet at www.tfppodcast.com. Make sure you put it http://. Before that. We're on Instagram and Reddit at /TFP podcast and Twitter at TFP_podcast. Subscribe, rate, and review us on your favorite podcatcher. We have some pretty awesome t-shirts at shop.tfppodcast.com. And we have some exclusive Patreon only content that's available to you if you support the show on patreon.com/TFP podcast. That is all I got. Anything else?
I don't like dragons, apparently.
Bring on the Eternals.
Thanks for listening. We'll see you real soon.